Good morning. My name is Bruce Frederick. Welcome to the Sunday morning worship service from the United Church of Big Rapids. The United Church of Big Rapids is a church affiliated with both the United Church of Christ and the Presbyterian Church USA. We are proud to be an open and affirming, more light church. Today is Sunday, April 21st, the fourth day of Easter. We are glad you have chosen to worship with us. Our service will continue to be on the radio and live streamed on Facebook and YouTube, with a recording available on those platforms and on our website after the worship service. If you would like to follow today's scripture in your Bible, it's taken from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. Our guest minister today is Reverend Devin Harrell. Our organist is Mr. Paul Heiderman. Our liturgist for today's service is Dee Van Horn. Our chancel choir director is directed by Linda Reinhardt. Later in today's service, the choir will sing River in Judea.
Shiny day. Yay. Welcome to today's worship at the United Church of Big Rapids. Whether you're listening over the radio, watching our live stream, or joining us here in the sanctuary, we are glad you have joined us today and welcome you to this sacred time and space. The United Church of Big Rapids is a congregation that worships together, seeks opportunities to serve others, encourages one another to grow in intellect and spirit, strives for social justice, and fully embraces Jesus' call to love one another as God loves us. Because we believe God's whole creation is good, blessed, and sacred, we're an open and affirming community of faith. We celebrate persons of all races, ethnicities, sexual orientations, gender identities and expressions, family structures, faith backgrounds, abilities, and economic circumstances. As valued members of this congregation, all persons are invited to equally participate in the full life of the church. Worship, sacraments, ministry, fellowship, leadership, responsibilities, sorrows, blessings, and the continued presence of Jesus Christ. So some announcements this morning. First of all, our mighty warrior road crew was unable to perform yesterday. Due to the inclement weather yesterday, the highway pickup was canceled. Susan says she's currently in process of contacting the highway department to find out if they can be rescheduled in a couple of weeks. And when I went out later in the day yesterday, because I hadn't been out, I turned to Bruce and said, I sure hope they didn't try and do highway pickup, because it was really cold and nasty. So stay tuned. Susan may be able to reschedule that. Welcome back to Reverend Harrell. We love it when you come and join us for our worship. Again, a reminder, a couple things happening for Project Starburst. Number one, we're still filling the pantry, and this month it's cereal. And on May 2nd, there's going to be a fundraiser at Applebee's, and all you have to do is go in and get something wonderful to eat and mention Project Starburst, and we get a share of the proceeds. So we encourage you to do that. It is dump and run time. And there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex if you want to help with Dump and Run. It's the long-standing program from Emmanuel Lutheran to provide students with an opportunity to donate to local organization items that they would otherwise discard. For those of us who've worked with that in the past, it is astounding what they decide to discard. So we're fortunate that somebody's collecting it and it is going to those in need. So Dump and Run is going to run from April 29th through May 4th. And Frank will be in the narthex following the service if you have any questions or want to get signed up. I think that's all I have for announcements this morning. Our prelude is There is a Balm in Gilead by Robert W. Thurgeson.
join me in the call to worship. Please stand if you so choose.
Brothers and sisters, if you lift your net and it is empty, come here. We'll cast it out again into Christ's abundance. If you open your eyes but do not recognize the Holy One, come here. We'll find the risen Christ here among us. If your life is filled with mourning, come here.
Christ is leading a dance of joy.
Come here, sisters and brothers, to give blessing and honor and glory to God. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn number 181 in your hymnal, Come Sing to God. Please join me in the psalm reading. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if it go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of John. It is being read from the New Revised Standard Version Bible. Please pray with me. Guide us, O Lord, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The gospel lesson is from the book of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he could glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Choir anthem this morning is "River in Judea."
Thank you. having flashbacks to my college days when we had chapel choir and we sang that song. You guys rocked it. Good job. It was awesome. One of my favorites. What do you think about that scripture story today? You've heard it before, right?
Made you hungry.
Made you hungry. Oh, everybody go to brunch. That's what we're going to do. No. A couple weekends ago, I led a women's retreat, and I made them do a Lectio Divina reading on that scripture. So they had to listen to it 4 times in a row. So you're getting off easy, even though I know that's a long passage. And I wonder, as it was being read, what you noticed about that story. There are multiple interesting moments in the passage, I think. And I know, like I said, sometimes these things become all too familiar to you, and it's a little bit harder to sort of see it again. So the story comes right on the heels of the lectionary from a couple of weeks ago, which was the story about Thomas. And I'm not sure that you heard that story, because I think you were telling jokes that day, which is probably way more fun than hearing about Thomas. But I wonder if you remember that story. It's actually the story of the night of Easter, basically, where Jesus shows up into the locked room where the disciples are, and he says, "Peace be with you," and shows them himself. And then Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas comes back, and they tell him, "Hey, we saw Jesus." And he says, basically, "Unless I see Jesus with my own eyes," and he even gets as serious as saying he wants to put his fingers into the wounds of Jesus, which, I don't know, that's kind of weird, but he basically says, "I got to see it to believe it." And so, of course, Jesus comes back, and then Thomas sort of leaps into this moment of belief, which is profound. And unfortunately, we know Thomas as Doubting Thomas, which really isn't a fair assessment of who he was through Scripture, but that's another sermon that you don't need to hear today. You probably remember it anyways. The end of that chapter, though, chapter 20 of John, it ends this way, 2 verses. It says, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." So it sounds like the end of the book, which is why we assume that maybe this 21st chapter came actually after the fact, that it was added a little bit later. I tell you that, like some of the things I'm going to tell you, which are for when you get on Jeopardy and you're asked that question and you're going to know the answer, because in all honesty, it doesn't matter that much for the sermon today. Basically, today we focus on Peter, and we can usually count on Peter to do what Peter does best, which is to be a little overzealous, a little impulsive, a little too excited. Remember that he's the one who wanted a full body bath from Jesus at the foot washing. Remember the walking on water episode. And here we have him. For some reason, and you didn't emphasize this moment in this story, which I don't blame you, but he's basically naked in the boat fishing, and I don't know, I'm not sure about that, but he had to put on his top, put on his cloak, and jump into the water to get to Jesus as soon as possible. And this is why I love Peter. Did you picture the scene as we read it? I think Michigan folks have a handle on water scenes better than most. Here's how I always thought it must have gone. Now, we don't know exactly how much time has passed between Jesus showing himself to Thomas and this moment. I always sort of assumed that Peter got tired of waiting for something to happen, and maybe they needed some income, which probably was a true truth. So he relied on what he knew, which was how to fish. His friends come along, of course, because they too may have needed the comfort of what felt normal to them. But the thing is, they're wildly unsuccessful. And Jesus, though they aren't certain at that moment that it's him, shows up on the shoreline and asks them about their catch. I think any good fisherman would have lied. making up a story about the biggest fish. But they don't. They share that they haven't caught even one fish. The voice from the shoreline encourages them to cast the net to the right side of the boat. This is interesting. Rationally speaking, would the situation be that much different from one side of the boat to the other? What is interesting about this call is that to cast on the right side of the boat would mean that they would have had to pull the nets in with their weaker side. So I think that's a little significant to notice. It's not something they would have ever tried, probably. They catch so many fish that they can't pull in the net the normal way. And that's when John, the beloved disciple, declares that it is the Lord that's on the beach. Peter puts on his coat, hears that it's Jesus, jumps in the water, and gets to the shore first. And I'm sure in his head is this: last one in is a rotten egg. The rest of them pull the net in. Jesus asks them to share their fish, but he already has breakfast ready for them on the beach. The story of the group as a whole basically ends there, with this memorable meal on the beach. I suppose just seeing Jesus offered them some reassurance that their mission would continue, though it was a mystery exactly what that could mean. If we ended here, we might ponder Jesus' call to toss the net onto the other side of the boat, to try something different, not to give up, but to cast the net in a new direction. I've preached many a sermon utilizing that example in connection with the church and its mission. I think you probably have almost too good of a handle on what it takes to trust in the movement of the Holy Spirit, even when it takes you a direction in ministry that feels uncertain. There's always this underlying mystery in our journeys of faith, and as communities of faith, this challenge to remain open to that which we have not yet thought of, to continue trying to connect and reconnect people to the love and liberation of God. It's not an easy call. I think we can all agree that this mission is not complete. Overall, we are clear in our minds that God is active in the middle of all of it. Sometimes, we just have to cast our nets a little wider or open up our minds to something we have never tried before. There's also a clear message in this passage about not giving up, staying the course, trusting and obeying. Do you guys have that hymn? Do you know that hymn? I have such a Methodist hymnal in my head. My mom was a piano player and an organist, and so I think I knew all the Methodist hymnal numbers before I knew how to add or subtract, but that's one of our tried and trues, trust and obey. Not always good at the obey part. Maybe you're better at that. I wonder if the disciples didn't just want to go home and go to sleep. And when they hear this voice from the shore, cast your nets on the other side, they wanted to roll their eyes because they'd been up all night. I don't like to fish for 1 hour and not catch anything. But the passage doesn't end there. What follows is this intimate moment between Jesus and Peter. "Do you love me, Peter?" Three times he's asked. Three times he answers. He gets a little salty the last time because, of course, Jesus knows that he loves him. "If you do," Jesus says, "feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." Jesus offers Peter a reminder of exactly who he is, who he's been called to be, and then encourages him to follow. Now, I remember hearing this preached and found it very profound at the moment that this could be seen as sort of a reversal for Peter. Three clear opportunities for him to express his love and loyalty to the mission of Christ, perhaps because of the threefold denial of Christ in the courtyard. But when you look a little closer at the texts, it is not clear that Jesus is trying to use this as a moment of forgiveness, offering forgiveness. And when you look back at the moment in Peter's life, at least what we know of it, Peter does not really deny who Jesus is. He denies his own identity as a follower. And those are two different things. I wonder if this isn't the moment when Peter finally grasps who he is and accepts who Jesus needs him to be. So let's dig into that a minute. In the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the denial scene mentions that Peter's response to the question, "Do you know the man?" is, "I don't know the man." But in John's Gospel, the question is different. He is asked, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" To which he responds with a clear, "I am not." One important thing to remember also is that Jesus never uses shame as a means to getting someone to repent. Jesus never blames or shames in Scripture. So it doesn't seem clear that in this one-on-one conversation, Jesus is asking Peter to apologize or feel shame for his actions. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't carry some of that, but we really don't have clarity on that from the text. If this is the case, Jesus questioning Peter three times, "Do you love me?" may be more about Jesus affirming and reaffirming who Peter is becoming and the kind of disciple Jesus needs him to be. Peter needs to take on this role of shepherd, of leader, and he really needs to do it now. The way Peter is portrayed in Scripture is relatable to most all of us. It's sort of human nature to want to be seen, to belong, to fit in the crowd, to ride that wave of acceptance and affirmation, to go above and beyond when we stand in loyalty to a cause. Sometimes, though, that can take a lot of pretending, especially if we are afraid. I imagine that denial encounter was one thing that hung on Peter's heart and mind for the rest of his life. This passage, and many others, like the feeding of the 5,000, the story of the bleeding woman, the woman at the well, and so forth, all portray Jesus as one who knows and stands in the space of one's deepest need. You've probably heard this passage before from Psalm 37. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun." Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I assume Jesus recognized Peter's deepest shame in this moment, that space of denial, but also understood that for Peter, that moment of denial was an identity crisis, not just an act of self-preservation. You all know me probably well enough to now to know that I'm a big Brené Brown fan. Do you know Brené Brown? She's great. I feel like I need a eye in the back of my head so I can see all of you too. Sorry about that. Pondering this idea made me think about a couple of parts from one of my favorite books, which is called Braving the Wilderness. I think it came out in 2019. Two quotes have really stuck with me from that book. The first quote says this: "True belonging is a spiritual practice of believing and belonging to yourself so deeply that you can share your most authentic self with the world and find sacredness in both being a part of something and standing alone in the wilderness. True belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are." Maybe Peter is a good example of this. Even when uncertain or afraid, he trusted in his relationship with Jesus to overcome that fear. He did not let his uncertainty prevent him from living as his true self. And perhaps it was in the moments that looked like failures that he learned the most about himself. I kind of think that it's these types of moments that we all learn the most about ourselves, when we know and trust ourselves and God enough that we can stand alone in our truth and trust that we belong to something much, much larger than the crowd or much larger than the opinions of others. We talk about this with kids pretty openly, when we warn them of the power of peer pressure. But it can be a lot harder to deal with as an adult, because sometimes standing in our truth challenges relationships with our family members or persons with whom we've had long-term friendships. Learning to belong to ourselves and embracing our experiences and knowledge can even make us look back years and think, who was that? But it is an ever-changing, ever-growing opportunity. This is what Peter finds himself right in the middle of on the beach that day, as he's questioned about his love and loyalty, but more importantly, reminded of his belonging. The second quote from that book that has challenged me big time says this: stop walking through the world looking for confirmation that you don't belong. You will always find it because you've made that your mission. Stop scouring people's faces for evidence that you're not enough. You will always find it because you've made that your goal. True belonging and self-worth are not goods. We don't negotiate their value with the world. The truth about who we are lives in our hearts. Our call to courage is to protect our wild heart against constant evaluation, especially our own. No one belongs here more than you. We don't negotiate belonging and self-worth with the world. They are not goods. The call to courage is to protect our wild heart against constant evaluation, especially our own. No one belongs here more than you. I wonder if Peter denied who he was because he was worried he wouldn't hold up under the pressure that seemed to be closing in. Jesus had not yet been crucified at that moment of the denial conversation, but it was clear he was going to be persecuted. Or maybe Peter just didn't want to take that ridicule that the people around him might subject him to. Or maybe he just plain felt like he didn't know who he was, because he'd always had a little bit of the feeling that he never really fit in. This brunch on the beach conversation gave Peter time to reconnect with himself, to hold up that mirror to his actions and identity, to remind him who he had been, who he'd been called to be by his Savior that he dearly loved. This was a conversation about purpose, about belonging to something beyond what he thought he was capable of, and a reminder that he would not be going about this work on his own. Jesus asks repeatedly in the Gospels that clarifying question of people, who do you say that I am? And who do you say that I am? Perhaps the question today is, who does Jesus need you to be? The promise for Peter and for all of us is grace. Grace beyond our imagination. Grace beyond our experience. Grace that makes an abundant catch of fish out of an empty net. Grace when we lose our way and forget who we are. Grace even when we question if there is any grace at all. This, my friends, is resurrection. And this is the message of the church. I had a conversation this morning with someone here about your church and the church. And we're in an interesting space, aren't we? I think we're in a space, at least in my lifetime, where the church is being pulled in 10 million directions. And some of those directions are, I don't think, in line with really this call from God in Scripture to love and care for and embrace. And you all stand firm in the knowledge of who you are called to be as God's witness in this community. And I don't imagine that's always been easy for you. And I imagine there's some people who aren't sitting in here today who may say, oh, that's the church with the rainbow flag in front of it. Or, oh, those people, they have this huge food pantry in the basement, and man, all those people should just go get a job, right? There's people who can come at us from every direction. And I don't know about you, but I have a very uneasy spirit about our election that's coming up. I just don't even know. let alone what's going on in the Middle East. And when we speak out, we can face a lot of negative right at us. Thank goodness, I guess, for Facebook, where we can all just read it right to our face now, right? Because no one has to say it out loud. You can just read it. It's a hard space to be in the church in this moment, because I think we've done it wrong for a long time. And really, the space that I think the church has always been called to fit is exactly what that Brené quote says, which is to make people feel as though they belong because they do belong, right? To remind people of their goodness, to remind people that what they've done or said or feel shame about is not the thing that they have to carry for the rest of their lives. That eternal life is not some like roll the dice game that you have to earn, but that you are already loved by a God so much, so abundantly, that nothing you can do can make God love you less, and nothing you can do will make God love you more. I don't know if any of you need to hear that message today. I hope you feel confident of that already. But we have those moments, like Peter, where we jump in the water and we just want to cling to the cloak of Jesus long enough to know that we're doing it right. I think you're doing it right. Doesn't really matter what I think, but I just want you to know that I think you're doing it right. And I say that because I imagine there are persons in this community who think they don't belong, and they may be listening on the radio, or they may be watching online, or they may have a friend who says, hey, this place really is legit. Like, they're legit. They actually love you. They actually realize that God's kingdom is actually not full of white upper middle class people, that it's full of this great diversity of humankind, and how we learn from each other when we do disagree, because we can do it knowing who we belong to. And it doesn't matter if we win or lose. It matters that we stand true in our truth, in the truth of Christ. So if you have uneasiness about the state of your church, I think that's good. That means we're open to this casting the net on the other side. Because I'm telling you, in 10 years, the church, the Christian church in the United States is going to look a lot different than it's ever looked before. And I think it's going to be great. And I think we're going to be meeting needs that we've never, ever even noticed before. And we're going to do it with this army of crazy, diverse, wonderful human beings who are not filled with shame, but who are filled with purpose. So friends, as you encounter Christ, I pray that whatever it is you hold on to is transformed into beauty and into call and into trust and into purpose. And that when Jesus looks at you and says, come and follow, or you feel that nudge of the Holy Spirit, you aren't too afraid to say yes, but that you just put one foot in front of the other foot in front of the other foot until you see, just like Peter did, the mission before you. So may we go with bravery in our hearts and courage and kindness, that someone out there might come to know the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ because of us. Amen.
We come to this time in our service where we share our joys and concerns. I realized I neglected something during the announcement time, because it really is a joy, if you're a part of our live stream team, that Jayla Lewis has joined the team. She's a student at Ferris, and with Annie Duquette graduating and moving on, Jayla has joined Amy and the team, and we're really pleased to have her with us. So if you see her after service, she's young. make sure we make her feel welcome. Otherwise, I don't have any specific joys and concerns I was asked to share. Do any of you have some this morning? We can thank Pat Heater for these amazing, amazing, amazing flowers, where she shares the joy of her family. Aaron's voice isn't exceptionally loud. The Cub Scouts came on Thursday afternoon, evening, and did cleanup and planted flowers. So we're thankful for their service to our community. We also share our building with them. And for those of us who are sometimes here on Thursday nights when they're meeting, it's quite an experience. They have lots of energy. We forget that, don't we?
Yes, it's awesome.
Thanks, Aaron, for reminding us of that wonderful event. Anything else? I turn it over to you.
All right. Let's pray together. Gracious and holy God, we come before you today with gratitude for the sunshine. We trust that those temperatures are going to come along with it in a few days, but we're so grateful for that sun. And we're grateful for this place, this building, that houses not only worship services and food pantries, Cub Scout meetings, and the list goes on, different opportunities for shelter. And while we gather in this space, we recognize, God, that our call to be the church extends far beyond its walls. And so we give you thanks for opportunities to serve and care and grow and love. We also pray for our mission and pray for our community. We pray for guidance and direction as we move into the future as your people. Help us to keep our ears and minds open to what it is you have in store for us, because God, we know that your work is not complete. We praise you and thank you in this moment for resurrection, for that promise, God, that even in death there is life, even in ending there is beginning. And the joy that comes when we realize that we belong to something far beyond our understanding, that the mystery of your redemption continues to play out even as we look around at the beauty of the flowers that are in bloom. We give you thanks. Help us to lean in, God, to those spaces where it feels difficult, where we wonder about our own spirits, where we wonder about ourselves, to those moments where we feel like we may not belong and yet, God, are clear about our truth. Be with us and guide us and fill us with perseverance. We thank you, God, for fun things like Cub Scouts. We thank you for their service to making our grounds beautiful here. And we give you thanks for Jayla, this student who is willing to come and serve here, and what a blessing and gift she will be to this team and to our lives. And at the same time, God, we are aware that while we sit in this beautiful space, there are people in our world who are suffering. We pray for places at war. We pray for the conflict in the Middle East. We pray for peace. Sometimes when we pray for peace, it seems so simple. And yet, God, we yearn to know that our children in the Middle East are going to be safe, that war is not an answer to any kind of progress. We pray for our leadership in this country, that we would make decisions that are life-giving for the future and for the present. And we pray that, God, as your people who yearn to do something, that you would help us to remember to pray and to focus and to advocate for justice on behalf of the persons whose voices we rarely hear. Give us strength in that space. Help us to be brave, God, in knowing that your word and your grace and your goodness and your love are for all people. Let us not be unwavering. Let us be bold. And we thank you, God, for opportunities that come with faith to have conversation and to care. And we pray for those persons in our midst who maybe are not feeling well today, for those who face surgeries or treatments, for all we know, God, who are under the weather. We ask your healing power would surround them that your spirit and wisdom would be in the hearts and minds of doctors and caregivers and nurses, for all those persons in our lives who continue to be helpers. God, we pray for their strength. And we thank you, God, for this reminder today that sometimes when we need it most, Jesus meets us right where we are. That brunch on the beach is far more than a meal, but a call to serve and to follow. So help us, God, to follow. And we thank you for Jesus and for the model that he is and has been, for compassion and kindness and justice. And now, God, hear us as we pray the prayer he taught us, as we say together, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
If you're with us today in the sanctuary, you may leave your offering gift in the plate at the back. If you're joining us from your home or out in God's creation, we invite you to take time to consider partnering in the ministry of this church through gifts sent to the church office at 120 South State Street, Big Rapids, or given electronically through our donate webpage. Thank you for being a part of this community and the ministry we offer together. Our offertory music this morning is A Tranquil Moment by Franklin Ritter. Join me as we dedicate our gifts. God of new life, out of the abundance of our lives, We offer these gifts to you. Through your blessing and our willingness to share, may these offerings become a source for hope and love in this church family and in the community beyond us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Our closing hymn is number 482, Praise Ye the Lord, the Almighty.
And follow. May we be led to new horizons in the mission and joy of Christ. So go in peace with courage. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining our church service by listening to our radio broadcast or watching the live stream. For more information about our church and its programs, or if you would like to receive a bulletin prior to the Sunday broadcast, please contact the church office. You can reach the church office by phone at 231-527-9567. The office is open Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Or you can leave a message and we will respond as soon as possible. If this broadcast has lifted your spirits, perhaps this church is meant for you. Let's explore that possibility together. We would love to welcome you to our in-person worship. May God bless you and give you peace. This concludes our live broadcast.